And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
Finally, it has happened. Aaron Rodgers is a New York Jet, everyone. The news breaking late this afternoon. We are reacting to the deal, what it means for the draft, what it means for the 2023 team. And of course, we're doing it all here on the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Zach Rosenblatt, our Jets reporter at The Athletic, and our producer, Marissa Dunn. Please subscribe if you're watching us on YouTube or if you're watching it on Apple, wherever you check us out, subscribe. Give us thumbs up here on YouTube right below the screen. Or five-star reviews are always loved on all those other places. Connor McGrath set the over-under at 8:03 tonight. We have hit the under for the second straight episode. 8:02 start time. Thank you for the motivation, listeners. And let us know how you're feeling about Aaron Rodgers officially being a Jet in the chat. Is this going to be one of those things, Zach, where you're like, where were you when you found out Aaron Rodgers was a Jet?
Sorry. Zach is a very popular man today, just for, you know, like, full disclosure. Zach has been on, like, 5 TV appearances, radio hit, all since the news broke. So we're just very lucky that Zach decided to join us tonight. Because
it was almost me and Marissa.
Off, you know?
Right. I thought about keeping the suit jacket that I put on for my last appearance, and then I decided to take it off because that would make fun of probably. It's not anticlimactic, but we've like known this is coming for so long that it's not really the like where were you thing as it might have been. Like if this had trade had happened out of nowhere, like some of these deals over the years have happened where it comes out of nowhere and you're like, oh wait, what just happened? Right. Russell Wilson, Broncos, like Stafford, like stuff like that. Like it was like, oh crap. Like Carson Wentz even getting traded from the Eagles, like stuff like that.
This has been a painful, slow
league. And there's never been anything like this between two teams. Like I say that over and over again. There's never been anything like this where two teams were like publicly negotiating for a player who said he wanted to go somewhere. So I think it'll be more be like, you remember those 40 days we spent waiting for Aaron Rodgers?
The 40 days and 40 nights of Aaron Rodgers trade.
But hey, we can celebrate because it's done. I got through multiple vacations without having to come home early. You know, Marissa got to do her baby shower.
Yeah.
Tim got to have some family time.
Barely. Marissa barely got the baby shower.
Tim got to go, true. You just got it in under the wire.
Yep.
Tim going back and forth from Boston. We got a lot of trips in and we're thankful for the Jets for letting us have our offseason a little bit.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. That's why you did it. We know you love the Can't Wait podcast.
It was really Brian Gutekunst that was holding things up, right? So maybe you should thank
True.
Him.
Yeah.
All right. So let's start with the big question now that this is over, Zach. Are the New York Jets potentially a championship contender?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think that should be the biggest takeaway that, you know, whatever you think about the compensation they gave up, whatever you even think about Aaron Rodgers' person, whatever, if he's only going to be here 1 year, like you add Aaron Rodgers, you're a Super Bowl contender. It's been the case as long as he's been, you know, playing an elite level. And I know, you know, he's only won one Super Bowl. Like that's obviously a thing, but every year they were considered a contender. If you just go back to the preseason, I wouldn't say the majority, but a lot of experts every year have picked the Packers to either go to the Super Bowl, make a run, win the division, all of those things. And whether it actually worked out, you know, maybe not, but ultimately Aaron Rodgers, even at 39, healthy, can be a top 10 quarterback. And the Jets had arguably quarterback number 32 next year if you're just lining up all the starting quarterbacks for each team. And this is a Super Bowl contender now. This is a team with an elite defense if they can play like they did last year, which, you know, whether they will is a big question. Defenses regress all the time. can Garrett Wilson take the next step? Can the offensive line be better? All that stuff. But on paper, this is a Super Bowl contender, and I think Jets fans should be very excited about this. This is what they've been waiting for. They haven't had a quarterback of his caliber in a very, very long time. And this is all worth celebrating for the fan base. And, you know, there's going to be days where Aaron Rodgers probably annoys us, annoys them, you know, with antics and all that stuff. But ultimately, it's not going to be like a long-term thing here. I don't think it'll be every offseason we're dealing with it like the Packers did necessarily. It'll just be next offseason. But yeah, I think this is something that Jets fans should be very excited about. They got their quarterback, and his name is Aaron Rodgers, which, you know, if we had talked about this a year ago, I don't think anybody would have even, like, broached that topic. So,
although a year ago we were hopeful that Zach Wilson was still the answer, and that obviously came crashing down. All right, so fans, obviously, every reason to be excited about this team going forward. You know who else is excited? Aaron Rodgers' new teammates, and they let that be known on Twitter today. We'll go through some of them. Woody Johnson, not a teammate, obviously, but the owner just throwing out the, how's everyone feeling out there? So Woody likes to check in on Twitter. Sauce, the first one, I think, to throw the picture up, right? And now this picture of Aaron Rodgers, if you're not watching us on YouTube, the old Cal Berkeley photo of Rodgers has become the avatar for a lot of the Jets players. New profile pic, hashtag Breece Hall, my knee feeling a little healthier now with the laughing emoji. Breece is going to be a key to this thing working. Ashton Davis, today is a good day. And then probably the best one is this one, right? Mekhi Becton, stepbrothers dressed up with Rodgers with the Argyle sweater. That is good. And I guess if you look at the Jets players' Twitter personas, you probably could have guessed Mekhi would come through with the best one. He's kind of the biggest nut on Twitter.
Yeah, he's been the meme king of his team all offseason. And posting photos of himself looking svelte too. So, I mean, he's like an X factor for this team, because if he can be good, then their offensive line could be pretty good this year. So, but yeah, you know, the teammates are excited. I think that's been the case. You know, earlier in the offseason, we talked a bit about how they were frustrated with how that was more like finding out whether Rodgers wanted to play for them or not. There was some frustration that it was dragging out. Then it dragged out as long as it did now. I think they've all known Rodgers was going to be their quarterback this whole time. But ultimately, there's obvious reason to be excited. You saw last year, you know, Elijah Moore's not around anymore, but, you know, Garrett Wilson was pretty open and public and demonstrative about how frustrated he was that he wasn't getting the ball when he was open. Aaron Rodgers is not going to miss, even if he's, like, declining physically, which I don't know that he is, like, a lot, as much as maybe some people think. He's not going to miss Garrett Wilson when he's open. He's not going to miss Alan Lazard. He knows where Lazard's going to be. You know, Mecole Hardman. I think Corey Davis, we can get into that. I think Corey Davis winds up staying unless they draft somebody early. So this is good for everybody on offense, and the defense is going to feel a little better about when they go to the sideline that the offense is going to make them come right back out.
They can actually rest, yeah.
They can actually rest.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move on to the compensation. It could be, I think, a lot, depending on how things play out. I guess the Jets, in a sense, hope that it ends up being a lot and maybe more than some people expected it to be. But what the Jets get, they get Aaron Rodgers. They get the number 15 pick in the draft on Thursday night, and they get the number 170th pick. That's in the fifth round. And then the Packers get the Jets' number 13 pick. So basically, it's a swap, 15 for 13. They get number 42, so the Jets are left with just one second-round pick, and then they get the Jets' sixth-rounder, number 207. And then maybe the biggest key here, and I think the thing that's going to grab the most headlines, is the conditional pick. And we figured there'd be some kind of conditional picks in this deal, but it's a 2024 conditional second-rounder. If Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps, that becomes a first-rounder. So in a sense, the Packers are getting the first rounder that they wanted, Zach. They're just not getting it Thursday night. They're just moving up a couple picks Thursday, but potentially a full first round pick in 2024.
Yeah, I would say that the conditions were the most surprising part. It's not even about what they accomplished. It's about how much Rodgers plays this year. So I think it's pretty clear the Packers won the game of chicken in that way. I think that's what I had been describing it as this whole time, is both sides were standing pat with what they thought they could get. You know, the Packers wanted a first-round pick. The Jets didn't want to give that up, and they wanted some protections in case Rodgers only plays 1 year. ultimately they came somewhere in the middle. And the Packers are probably, unless this is an absolute disaster, which, you know, I don't mean to be that guy, but it is the Jets. So you have to at least be open to the possibility that everything goes up in flames. I don't think it will, to be fair. I just think you have to be prepared for all possibilities here. And so you assume he's going to play at least 65% of the snaps, and then that would be a first-round pick. And if things work out the way they're supposed to, if Rodgers is playing more than 65% of the snaps, it means he played almost all of the season, if not all of it. And if Rodgers played almost all of the season, the Jets should be in the playoffs. So I know it's not that simple. The AFC is very hard. The AFC East is going to be very good this year, which is something, you know, whether for today or another day, like, to talk about. Like, the AFC is, maybe we can have an episode where we run through how hard it's going to be to make the playoffs. But ultimately, that first round pick, you know, if everything works out the way the Jets want, is going to be at the end of the first round. And so it's not as valuable as this 13th pick, which is what the Jets did not want to give up. They moved back two picks, 15, still a good pick. You know, you're at risk for, and we'll get into this, you're at risk for not getting one of those offensive tackles maybe. But I don't think it was as much of a lopsided deal as I've seen some reactions to it. I think it made a lot of, this is pretty much the framework that we've all been discussing. It was always, you know, the Jets give up a second round this year, which they did. They give up a future pick that can become a first, which they did. And they get back Aaron Rodgers. I think there was a couple maybe things in there that were unexpected, but I think ultimately this was the package all expected. I think it's a win for both sides. It's a risk the Jets were willing to take. If a year from now they didn't make the playoffs, or, you know, it goes up in flames, or Rodgers retires after they go one and done in the playoffs or something like that, maybe we can reflect and say, okay, maybe they shouldn't have done that. But I think the thought process is right. You know, the criticism ultimately is that they messed up with Zach Wilson, and that's why they're in this position, and that's worth criticizing. They had to take that. They felt like they had to take this risk because of the previous risk that failed. But I think this is the right move, and I don't think you can really criticize what they did. I know some people have. I personally think it was the right move. I think they gave up what they had to give up. They didn't give up too much. They have that first-round pick this year. They have a second-round pick this year. They can move up, replenish, and they have, like, a core. They didn't have to give up any key players either. So I think Joe Douglas did the best he could, given all the circumstances and all the debate about leverage and all that crap. You know, ultimately they came to an agreement before the draft, which is what everybody needed to do.
Yeah. Instead of going into this maybe golden era of Jets football with a long runway and a talented young quarterback in Zach Wilson, it's all in right now. Let's get this done in the next 2 years. And then who knows, right? Because you're still going to have this core of this team. So maybe at that point, there's another option to switch to from Aaron Rodgers. I am surprised that you mentioned that maybe the Packers win the game of chicken. I'm surprised that happened now, because we all thought, like, the Jets had the upper hand until we got through the draft, and then maybe the things would switch. But we're still a few days before the draft, and maybe the Jets gave up more than they wanted to. What if, and this is the one thing that wasn't in here, we kind of thought, when you're speaking of conditional picks, that one of the conditions would be Aaron Rodgers retiring. That's not part of this. That's another risk. They must feel good, right? The Jets must feel good, speaking of Rodgers, to Rodgers, that he has 2 years in him.
Yeah, I don't think you do the trade in that way if you don't think there's at least a chance that he'd play another year. I imagine there's been some communication. I'm not reporting that, but, you know, I also think they were just willing to take that risk. I really do. And, you know, I think the big question now is going to be who's their next quarterback. Cause that has to be, that's been the question for the Packers for a long time as well. And the Jets have to think about that. And, you know, we can get into that when we get into the draft portion of this conversation. But yeah, you know, I think that everybody seems to be assuming it's a one and done because of his comment about being 90%. But I feel like everybody hasn't really learned their lesson about how Aaron Rodgers kind of changes his mind a lot. You know, he said during the draft, I think it was 2021, that he didn't want to play for the Packers anymore. And then he won two MVPs in a row. So, you know, it's going to be an offseason next year where Jets fans are going to be very frustrated, I imagine. I can't imagine he's going to make his decision early, because I don't think he tends to do that. Unless he's all in on coming back. Like, maybe they get close to Super Bowl and he wants a little taste of it again. And he's like, I'm coming back. But I don't get the vibe that that's kind of how he does things. So
mid-March,
that's a topic.
I would set the timing on mid-March.
Yeah, but I wouldn't focus on any of that right now. Like, I get, like, the instinct is to be like, but they gave up all this. He might only be – just focus on the 1 year. If everything if we're at the end of the year and the Jets are, you know, they have 11 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins, whatever it is, the fans are going to be happy they went along for that ride. They get to the playoffs. You know, if they lose the first game, maybe everybody will be mad. If they win a game, get a little excitement. You know, maybe we can make it to the Super Bowl, even if they lose. I think at that point, Jets fans haven't had that level of excitement since they made it the AFC Championship with Mark Sanchez. And they haven't been in a position where, hypothetically, there might be the favorite. You know, they're going to be – the Jets are going into the season, and they're going to be the talk of the NFL almost every week. They're probably going to have the most, if not the most, one of the most amounts of primetime games. I think I saw Adam Schefter said maybe six, which is like a crazy amount.
Get your coffee ready, Zach.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
We will not be podcasting after primetime.
Yeah, we're not going to be doing game night pods. You know, I covered the Eagles and the Giants, as we've talked about on here. And those two teams always have a bunch of primetime, especially the Eagles. And I was very I enjoyed last year quite a bit more than I thought it would, where it was almost always a 1 p.m. game. And just like that consistency of knowing it was going to be 1 p.m. other than the one primetime game they had on a Thursday night against the Jaguars late in the season. That's not going to be the case this year. I wouldn't be surprised if they got a primetime the first week. I wouldn't be surprised if they got Thanksgiving. I wouldn't be surprised if they got Christmas. Like all that stuff. Like they're going to be a talk of the league. They're a New York team with the, if not the most popular, he's probably the most famous NFL player right now. Like, I think that's probably fair. Even Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, with Brady gone, know, I think so.
Yeah, with Brady gone. I always say it's like, if my mom knows who this guy is, like, to my mom follows the Eagles pretty intensely, so that's probably not even a fair assessment. But like, if you have a parent who doesn't really follow the NFL and they know who Aaron Rodgers is, I think that's like the level of fame that you have to reach. I don't know that everybody in America knows who Patrick Mahomes is. I think most people probably do, but Aaron Rodgers has been on commercials. He's in the tabloids.
They both have their.
He dated Shailene Woodley. Right? He dated Olivia Munn. Like,
that's
he had
true.
All the stuff with his family. Like, he's a celebrity. He's a TMZ. He's going to follow him. He's going to be on the back page. I've been saying this in all these interviews I've been doing. Like, they're going to be writing about his dating life. They're going to be TMZ is going to be posting stuff about where he went to get coffee in New Jersey and where he went out to eat in New York and Hoboken. And like, it's going to be a thing where every single thing he says and does is going to be scrutinized and analyzed. And it's going to get exhausting. And we're probably going to have a lot to talk about on this podcast, which isn't the worst thing, but like, there's going to be frustration at some point and all that stuff. But ultimately all sides think it's worth it. And I'm excited. Anyone who's not excited about how this plays out, whether you're a Jets fan or not, like it's fascinating whether you're a Jets fan or not. There's just so many ways that this can go. It could be a dumpster fire. It could be wildly entertaining. This could be Rodgers of a couple years ago. It could be a mess. There's just so many different things that are going to happen. And the Jets are going to be at the center of the NFL. And I don't know that anyone ever expected that in a time where they're with the Giants, and the Giants always seem to get priority. So,
yeah, it's going to be fun. And the Giants should be good, too. It could be a really exciting football season here in New York. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
All right, plenty of questions about this from the chat, so we'll give some credit to Dan Botter for this one. Would Douglas consider trading Zach to recoup picks? We talked about the future of the quarterback position. The timeline at this point doesn't even work out, with Zach being kind of done before Aaron is. So what do you do with Zach Wilson? Do you give him one more chance to show that he's the backup at least, or is now the time?
What I would say is I think the plan is to bring back Zach Wilson, and I think they're committed to that. Almost because you don't really have much of a choice because you can't cut him.
And what are you going to get for him?
And that's so my thing is that if somebody calls, Joe Douglas is not going to hang up the phone. He's going to listen. if a team offers them a third round pick, they probably jump at that, I would think. I don't see that happening. Zach Wilson's stock is as low as it's could possibly be. And so I think the plan, you know, you hope that without any, he's not going to have attention on him this year. He's just not, unless Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and they have to play him. But he's just going to be able to work in the background. He'll work with Todd Downing, who's pretty much running the quarterback room now. He'll work with Rob Calabrese. He'll work with Nathaniel Hackett. He'll learn from Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't think work ethic has ever been a problem for Zach. I think a lot of it's been confidence. And so if nobody's thinking about him, maybe this will be the thing that gets him in the right direction. That's what the Jets are hoping for. At this point, I think anything you can get out of Zach is gravy if it's positive. But also I think they've accepted that it's probably the end of the road for him. So, you know, what do you have to lose? You develop him. If it works out, it works out. If not, then you move on from him a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever it is. You know, the fifth-year option decision is going to be pretty easy unless he comes out this year when if Rodgers gets hurt and Zach Wilson comes in and wins them a few games, then we might be having a different topic. Maybe you do have your future quarterback on the roster after all, but I don't think the Jets are planning for that is what I would say. But to answer Dan's original question, no, I don't see them trading him to recoup picks. I just don't think you'd be recouping very many positive picks. I think the way they recoup picks, and again, we'll get into this in a minute, I'm sure, it would be trading back and accumulating more picks from trade back from 15, trade back from 43, whatever it is like that.
All right, you set it up, so let's go there. Let's go to the draft, what this deal means for Thursday. And conveniently, the Athletic football writers are holding their own little mock draft right now, and Zach's been a part of that. So we actually have some smart people who cover the teams and have gone through this exercise to weigh on here. Let's start in the first round, 15 instead of 13. At 13, according to Dane Brugler's last mock draft, the Jets were going to have their choice of the offensive tackles, Paris Johnson Jr., Broderick Jones, Peter Skoronski. But Zach, you were saying when we were talking before we got on here, in the Athletic beat writer mock draft, none of those players available at 15. Wow. So is that Spoiler. When, yeah, right, no. Is that when they move back? Because none of those guys are, like, is that the decision? Mm-hmm. If an offensive tackle is there, make the pick. If none of those three guys are there, move back.
I don't want to give away too much of this draft, but like, so the receiver from Ohio State, Jackson Smith and Ojigba, is also not on the board. Like, he would have been like my fallback. And, you know, nobody was willing to trade back with me because I didn't get any bites because all the main quarterbacks were also taken. So the question would be like, is there a team that,
what about Jalen Carter?
Jalen Carter was taken. Yeah. So I went with Darnell Wright. I'll just tell you guys. You guys get the exclusive. He's the tackle for Tennessee. Some yeah. people have him rated among like the top three in this draft. Like it sounds like he's a right tackle only type guy. I feel like, you know, we had Nick Baumgartner on the show the other day. He doesn't think even 13 would have been too high for Darnell Wright. Right. But you're kind of being pigeonholed by the only guy available there. And so I think in that, Scott, I think they would trade back. You know, there's some corners that would still be there, some defensive ends. Bijan Robinson still on the board, like stuff like that. Like maybe there would be a team that would trade up. I don't know if you're going to get a lot, but if you can recoup a third-round pick, move back 15 to 20, 21, whatever it is, I think the Jets might be okay with that. But if they view Darnell Wright as a guy that can plug in at right tackle right now, then you take him. But yeah, you know, you're – anytime you move down, the chance that you don't get the guys that you like the most on the top of your board. I've heard a lot of people saying they only have, I think, like 15 guys graded as first rounders in this draft. And I don't know how every team is going to be different. I don't know how many of them is like positions the Jets don't need necessarily. Yeah.
Well, one of them will be there at 15, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So in theory, you're in the prime zone to get the last good prospect.
All right, so that's the situation at one. Now, the second round, the question is different too, because they were 42 and 43, and your little draft that you put out conveniently today, and I think a lot of these came out today, you had them going center with Joe Tippmann out of Wisconsin.
Then.
Yeah, and also getting a defensive tackle with the next pick. So being able to do offense and defense, now it's one or the other. But throw into that equation the fact that they actually re-signed Connor McGovern today.
Yeah, which, you know, I wasn't as surprised as maybe I would have been a couple weeks ago because Connor McGovern clearly didn't have the market that he thought he was going to. I thought he would have been able to get at least what he got from the Jets the last time they paid him. And I think that was like $8 or $9 million a year. I haven't seen the details of his deal now. I imagine it's only a 1-year deal. And I don't necessarily think that they're done at center. Like, I still think Ben Jones is a possibility, actually.
So if they were to assign Ben Jones, they would still draft a center too?
Okay. I don't know in that scenario. I don't know. It's maybe not in the second round, because, you know, Ben Jones is going to be 34, has a lot of injury stuff. Connor McGovern, maybe not a long-term guy. McGovern can play guard, which is an interesting wrinkle. Like, if they don't like any of the tackles that are there at 15, like, do you move AVT to right tackle and you move McGovern over to right guard and you start Jones, or you pick John Michael Schmitz or something like that? Ultimately, I don't think the Jets are going to pick a center in the second round now, because I don't think that guy is going to start. I think they probably want guys that are going to play right away from them. So, you know, second round, I'd have my eye on defensive tackles. They need defensive tackle. If they get an offensive tackle the first round, then you don't have to worry about that. If you don't, then you look there. But yeah, I had a story that I wrote that I'm going to have to completely rewrite now before the trade came out. But I like predicted some things I thought were going to happen on Thursday. It included the Rodgers trade happening. I thought it would happen on the draft. But and that what I said was, with those two second round picks, I thought they would get either a weapon on offense or a defensive lineman. And so, I mean, that could mean a wide receiver, I guess, hypothetically a tight end, but I don't think they would do that necessarily unless they loved a guy. Or it would mean a defensive tackle / pass rusher. So I think it would be something in that kind of idea. I would lean towards a weapon, just because I think they really want to load up on offense right now. They wouldn't have gone after Odell Beckham if they didn't believe that they could upgrade there. There's some interesting guys they can get in the second round. I know Nick said he loved Zay Flowers from Boston College. If he's there, I think he'd be interesting. Jalen Hyatt from Tennessee, like guys like that are explosive, can play in the slot, stuff like that. But, you know, I think Joe Douglas has been operating this offseason in a way that he's going to be able to pick the best player available at most of the draft now, because you could argue even offensive tackle, if they believe in Mekhi Becton or Max Mitchell, which, you know, would be risky, but if they believe those guys can be a quality starter, then the only spot you really need a starting caliber player is probably defensive tackle. And you should be able to get a pretty good one early in this draft. And then other than that, you can just draft the best player available at almost any spot. And ultimately, the biggest question for me is going to be, you know, if they're sitting there at 15 and one of these quarterbacks gets there, and, you know, Will Levis or Anthony Richardson, or, you know, I think there's been some talk of CJ Stroud falling. I don't know if he would fall that far. But if one of those three guys is sitting there and they have a good grade on him, like, would they take a guy to develop as the next Rodgers? Like, I mean, you can make the case for that, and I think it would be very interesting. I don't think fans would be very happy because they're all in on Hendon this year.
And you know who would be happy? Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, another team doing this. Yeah, that's true. So that would be a reason to think, because the Jets have been very clear they're doing whatever they can to appease him. So if he's like, if you guys draft a quarterback, I might retire now or something. but so I don't necessarily think that that's going to happen, but I don't know. If Anthony Richardson sitting there at 15, I'd be pretty tempted to take a kid like that and develop him.
Yeah, he would be the one. For me, just because of the upside. Yeah. Although, that's where you get burned, right?
And
then on the other hand, right? Like, that's why you take them. On the other hand, like, you're the New York Jets. You're kind of taking a look. Don't draft a quarterback in the first round.
Yes, and you're taking kind of a luxury pick for a team that, you know, hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years. So.
Yeah.
Or more than 10 years, so.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, so only three more picks after that. It's going to be an easy weekend for you, Zach. You're going to be done after the fifth round.
You bite your tongue, sir.
Yeah, they're going to keep trading back and acquiring more picks.
Before you know it. But yeah, my gut is that they'll trade back at some point, whether that's first or second round, get more picks. But I would say, you know, we talked about, somebody asked the other day when we had Nick on what the ideal draft would be. I think if you get out of this with an offensive tackle of the future, a defensive tackle you can plug and play right now, and then you fill it out with another weapon, some depth of linebacker, whatever it is, like just, you know, fill out the depth chart at spots where they haven't, because they haven't really done much this offseason in free agency, as you guys know. We haven't really had many. Like, you in the past, you guys would do episodes, right, when they would sign like a notable guy. The only time they signed notable guys was like Quentin Jefferson, and that was when we were all on vacation, and even that's like a 1 year, $3 million deal. Like, so clearly I don't think they view him as like a long term guy or anything. It's like there hasn't been any Laken Tomlinson, Corey Davis, you know, all those type of signings, Jordan Whitehead. Like, they haven't had anything like that this offseason. So I'm curious to see, and I saw some people asking in the chat, like, what's next? Like, outside of the draft, like, what moves they have to make. They have to clear cap. Because right now I think they're only $8 million under
the cap.
Yeah,
there was a lot of questions about that.
Yeah.
So
I can address
that
now.
What do they have to do to do that?
I mean, they have to clear cap just for Rodgers first,
yeah,
right?
Just to get him into the building. Believe it'll be like $15 million that first year. And you have to pay the draft class. You have to have the money to do that.
Right. You can't sign guys.
I don't have the number in front of me what their draft class is. They probably have to have, I think, something like $4 or $5 million
available. Going into Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
Or going into the draft. You have to have enough space.
I think like the players you draft kind of thing, I believe. Yeah. So that'll get resolved before Thursday. But, you know, Corey Davis is the big, you know, question, because I think I went into this offseason, I'd heard, and I think the Jets were operating under the assumption that they were going to move on from him. As time has progressed and he's hung around, it's pretty clear they're not. But I don't know if you can pay him. If he's the wide receiver 4, which he might be right now, behind Mecole Hardman, Garrett Wilson, and Alan Lazard, like, can you pay him $10 million? Like, would he be willing to take a pay cut? Or do you just restructure that and clear money? Like, I don't know. That's a fascinating one. They love him. You know, Todd Downing coached him in Tennessee. Like, there's a reason to like him. And I think he's a really good player to have, a good leader. And they have great depth if they have him. You can never have enough depth, especially with all the injury history this team has had. But that's an interesting one. You got to restructure CJ Mosley's deal, I imagine. You know, he's $21 million cap hit, I think, which is pretty ridiculous for anybody. And you can't keep that. Carl Lawson is going to stay, it sounds like, which, you know, these were guys we all had questions about before the offseason. They're really sticking to, like, let's run it back. But you're paying Carl Lawson like $15 million. I think maybe they tag on, either extend him or tag on some void years and reduce that cap hit for this year. And then I could see them, you know, cutting guys like Bryce Hall or Ashton Davis, or at least getting them to do a pay cut, because they have that performance pay escalator thing that the NFL introduced a few years back that's actually like backfired, I think, in a lot of ways, because a lot of these guys wind up either getting cut or having to take pay cuts because their cap hits go up and then they're not as valuable to the team anymore. So a guy like
Ashton Davis,
but
then if they play more snaps, then they're compensated for that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. So they played enough snaps, and so now Ashton Davis is technically making more out of the job.
Basically.
So they price themselves.
Not nice.
Yeah, that part stinks. So Ashton Davis and Bryce Hall. Bryce Hall is a good depth piece. Ashton Davis, they love on special teams. Can you pay them both of those guys $3 million? I don't know if you're trying to save some money and you're trying to add Ben Jones or whatever else you want to add. So there's still a lot of moves to be done. You know, maybe, you know, hypothetically, if they drafted Brian Branch, the safety from Alabama, they could turn around and cut Jordan Whitehead and save $7 million. And maybe that's something they're thinking about. So there's a lot of things they got to do between now and Thursday, and then after Thursday, you always got to be cap. We're at this time of the year, you have to be cap compliant. You can't go over the cap. So there's going to be a lot of restructuring, a lot of maneuvers. They've been waiting as long as they possibly could. That's been one of the more interesting parts of this offseason. They haven't really done much because they are like, why would we cut Corey Davis now when we might be able to keep him later on? So I think they were smart in being patient in that way, but now, you know, they got to pay the piper.
I guess my one last question, and it's something we've talked about, is now that he's going to be on the roster,
yeah,
when do you expect Aaron Rodgers to be on the field as a Jet?
I was thinking the same thing.
Now, that is a question I don't know that anybody but Aaron Rodgers has the answer to, probably. I would think he would want to get in here with the guys. Maybe he doesn't want to be here for like this portion of the offseason. Maybe once OTA start in the middle of May or like around then, he'll be here for mandatory minicamp, I would think. You know, he knows Alan Lazard. He knows Nathaniel Hackett. Like, it, there's less of a necessity for him maybe than if he had gone to other teams. But I think you want to get them in there. They need to work on timing. He's got some very unique receivers that he's got to learn. Mecole Hardman, Garrett Wilson in particular are guys that are not really like the receivers he was playing with in Green Bay this last year. And you know, I think at the very least, he'll be here for mandatory minicamp. I'm curious to see when his introductory press conference is. I don't know if they would want him to overshadow the guys that they're drafting, because I imagine this trade will be completed in the next day or two. I don't know if they're going to have a press conference the day of the draft, the day before. Maybe they would. Usually the draft picks get a press conference. Like the first round pick in particular gets one in person, like the day after the draft or whatever it is. So I'm curious to see when he's introduced, because he's in California, when he flies over from California, and if they make it a whole spectacle or if they just do it over Zoom. Like, I imagine it'll be a whole spectacle, but if he doesn't want that, then maybe
Woody Johnson's going to make it a spectacle, yes. Right? Like, I mean, this isn't the next, like,
yes.
Shiny toy.
It's, and they're going to sell a lot of tickets, sell a lot of jerseys. I don't know if the prices are going to change now that Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback or what, but yeah,
hard,
you know,
knocks.
Hard knocks. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The schedule should be coming out. You know, this our schedule pod is going to be fun because, we're going to have a lot to talk about with that. Cause
it's usually like 2 weeks after the draft.
Yeah, I think it rounds up being around like May 10th or something like that.
Yeah.
And I know the NFL is probably getting a little antsy about this happening. So yeah, there's a lot to come. We have a lot more we're going to be talking about, obviously, on here. I'm happy, and I hope fans are too, that we're going to be able to focus on the draft during the draft and after the
draft.
That's true. Which is nice because, you know, the draft is fun. And Jets fans historically have only cared about the draft, and this year they don't as much. But, you know, I think once Thursday and Friday comes, they'll get excited again, or they'll get angry because, you know, you're either happy or you're pissed off at a draft pick. There's no in between. and it'll be exciting, especially coming off.
Miss the days when it was here in New York, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And you got, like, the boos for both Giants or Jets.
Great point, because that was like a class. That was, like, always a thing. You were waiting to see what the Giants and Jets fans, how they were going to react. Mm-hmm. Or Eagles fans, because they would make the trip and boo McNabb or whatever. So yeah, there's a lot to be excited about, and now we can look at the draft and then we can turn around and see what this means for the rest of the offseason, for the season, when Rodgers comes in, how he handles the media, us, how often, if he's still going to go on McAfee every Tuesday. You don't have to do that, by the way, Aaron.
You realize, I was going to say, that's a story for you every Tuesday. Sounds, exactly.
You can take a break, maybe do it once a month. Like, you focus on the season, it's fine.
Speaking of McAfee, you know, when that announcement came out, there was some, I was called negative for our podcast coming off after that I was too negative, talking about like all the negatives of Rodgers and this and that. And I will say, I feel like I've been nothing but positive in this podcast tonight. I'm excited to just see how this whole thing plays out. So hopefully I brought the energy and excitement level up as opposed to that one when, I don't know. It's hard to not think about the dark side when you're covering, rooting for this franchise, just because the way it's been. But it feels right now like this is a cool time to be a Jets fan.
The Jets have been in a 12-year darkness retreat, and now they're coming out.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're ready to go. So I'm excited. It's going to be an exciting year. However it plays out, you know, there's going to be more attention on, you know, what we do, which is all we can ask for is people reading our stuff and watching and subscribing to our podcast, which I hope you guys already do, because we're gonna have a lot of fun podcasts this year. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm not a fan anymore. Like, you kind of lose that when you get into this job. I enjoy watching football, but I also enjoy covering a team that's exciting. And there's nothing worse than covering a boring team, and this is not going to be a boring team.
Covering a bad team.
That's
not
pretty
funny
bad.
Either.
Well, if it's like a hilariously bad, then maybe there's something
true. Yeah, that's true. It's still entertaining.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, if you want to read all the great writing that's going to be coming from Zach, go to theathletic.com/can't wait. You can join right now. $1.99 a month for a year, Marissa? Or is that 6 months? I believe
it's a year. Yeah.
I think it's a year. Great deal going right now. So definitely get on that. And draft is coming just a few days away. We will be with you on Thursday night. That's the plan right now. We'll see if the Jets just pick at 15, if they move back, what goes on. But once they're done with their night, we'll be streaming here on the Can't Wait podcast. And then I guess we'll see what happens Friday, right? But that was our original thought, was to go again on Friday and then a full wrap up coming early next week. So plenty of Jets content coming up later this week. Thanks for joining us. Good audience tonight on the live stream. That's fun to see. We'll talk to everybody Thursday night.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.